Exodus is the story of God bringing his people out of bondage. Today on Daily in the Word, Dr. Paul Chappell shares how you can break the chains that enslave you.
God doesn't forget. And God did not forget the children of Israel. He heard their cry. I don't know what you're talking to God about, but he hears you. He hasn't forgotten you. And when the devil says that he doesn't listen, the devil's a liar. God's delays are not God's denials.
The story of Israel is the story of us today. We are God's people, and he has drawn us out of bondage into a personal relationship with him. Welcome to Daily in the Word. This program features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. In our series, Out of Bondage, we will learn the story of Exodus, grow in our awe and worship of God, and celebrate the one who can deliver us from the bondage of sin, fear, and guilt. And now, here's Pastor Paul Chappell with part two of a message called Delivered by a Stretched Out Arm.
There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Now look right here. This world is under the law of sin and death. This world is under the penalty of sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we see a picture here in the book of Exodus, and that is that God is providing deliverance and God is providing freedom. He's going to rid them from their bondage. And I'm telling you, sin is a hard taskmaster. I'm telling you today that those that are in chains of bondage, whether it be to lust or whether it be to envy or whether it be to anger, listen, sin is a hard taskmaster, because you can get angry and angry and angry, but you don't solve the problem. You can take more and more alcohol, but you don't solve the problem. And God says, look it, I can help you to be rid of that problem once and for all, because with my Spirit, you are made free from sin and death. How many of you are thankful that the penalty of sin is no longer over your head this morning? That, my friend, is great freedom, to know that you are forgiven, to know that you have a home in heaven. That brings joy to the heart. That brings freedom to the heart. And so God says, I'm going to provide the provision of deliverance. I'm going to provide the provision of freedom. And then notice thirdly, the provision of redemption. Verse 6, he says, I will rid you out of their bondage. Watch this. And I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. I don't know why that just blesses my heart, that saying, I will redeem you with a stretched out arm. You know why that blesses my heart? Because his arm is not limited. Mine is, it's just about 35 inches long. But listen, God's arm is not limited. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how deep a hole you dug yourself into. Our God can reach down and pick you up. You see. And notice what he says there. I'm going to redeem you. And the word is an interesting word. It is the word that is also used in the Bible to act as a kinsman redeemer. I will redeem you. I will redeem you from slavery. Normally, in order for a slave to be freed in Bible times, there was a price that was paid. In order for this emancipation to be experienced, someone had to pay the price, and then freedom was granted. And here's the picture, my friends. All of us, every one of us today, it doesn't matter what your background, what your last name, what your ethnicity, all of us had a problem with sin. All of us were slaves to sin, for all have sinned. And yet God says, I'm going to redeem you out. I am the kinsman redeemer. That is to say, God paid the price for all of us who were slaves, and because of the blood of Jesus Christ, we have been set free. Amen? The kinsman redeemer. The kinsman redeemer is mentioned in Ruth 4 and verse 13. where we read about Boaz purchasing Ruth after her husband had died. And the Bible says in Ruth 4:13, so Boaz took Ruth and she was his wife, and when he went in under her, the Lord gave her conception and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Naomi was Ruth's mother-in-law, the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. So Jesus is our Redeemer. Jesus is our kinsman Redeemer. Let's say that together. Jesus is our, which means he has brought us out of our slavery and he has given us the freedom that we now know in Jesus Christ. Freedom that says if you have sinned, you have an advocate with the Father. His name is Jesus Christ. Oh, listen, the Bible says, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister and to give his life a ransom for many. That's why Jesus came, in order that we might receive this powerful promise of redemption. And it is done by a proven power. Notice that again in verse 6. It says, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. The outstretched arm is used to show the context and to show the extent of God's deliverance. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 7 and 19, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God be unto all people of whom thou art afraid. God says, listen, it was by my stretched out arm that I brought you out. And I don't know about you, friend, but I'm thankful for the stretched out arm of God. I think of the stretched out arm bringing someone onto a ship for the safety in that vessel. I think of the stretched out arm reaching someone from the fire that is burning and bringing them to safety. I think of the stretched out arm and the handshake of a friend welcoming someone home. And God is stretching out his arm to you this morning. And God, through us, is going to stretch out his arm to the Antelope Valley in these next few weeks. He's going to use us to be the extension of that arm, saying, come to Jesus Christ. My arm is stretched out even for you. Jeremiah 32 and 17, ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee, and hast brought forth thy people Israel out of the land of Egypt with signs and with wonders and with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm and with great terror. You see, thank the Lord for his redemption this morning, that he reached, as one songwriter said, way down for me, that he reached way down and reached us with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that there was a day over 2,000 years ago when Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh, came to this earth? He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfectly sinless life on this earth. And one day he was taken up to the hill of the skull, and there at Calvary, his arms were stretched out. And there at Calvary, nails were placed into his hands and into his feet. And he died with his arms open wide. And I'm saying to you this morning, the same powerful God that reached down and gathered his children out of Egypt, listen to me, is the same powerful God that is gathering his bride today, the church today. And thank God that his arms stretched out at Calvary and that his blood was shed in order that we might be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. He offers a redemption for all who come to him. Notice, secondly, he offers a relationship. Now, it's going to get gooder this morning, and I just want you to follow with me on this, because he doesn't just save you to put you on a shelf. He doesn't just save you to put you into his church, but he saves you because he wants a relationship with you. How many of you know someone that has a relationship with a religion, but not with the Lord? You know what I'm talking about? They're a member of something, but they don't know the Lord. Now notice what the Bible says in verse 7. And I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Now notice, first of all, a gracious choice. I will take you to me for a people. Here we see the choice of a relationship. The word take is a word that we sometimes use in marriage. I've stood here at this platform many times and had many beautiful wedding ceremonies, and we ask this question: do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, to have and to hold from this day forward, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer? Normally it's for poorer, for poorer. I don't know why we even put richer in there, you know. Do you take this man? Do you take this woman? How many of you understand marriage is a choice? Stop your complaining, buddy. You made your choice. Right? Come on. Do you take? Do you take? I do. I do. But God says, I love you so much that I take you. Have you thought about that lately? Have you thought about the wonder of the love and grace of God that He took you? And some of you are going, well, I can see why He took me, but not him. I don't know why He took him. It's all because of grace, isn't it? God says, I take you. God was taking them out of Egypt, not because they were deserving, but because of His compassion on them. How many of you understand this morning, none of us are saved because we deserve it? But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Deuteronomy 7:6, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto Himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love upon you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you were the fewest of all people. But because the Lord loved you, and because He would keep the oath which He had sworn unto your fathers, hath the Lord brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you out of the house of the bondman for the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Listen, someone says, why does God love Israel so much? Why do we Christians just stand by Israel like that? What's the big deal about Israel? Listen, I tell you again today, I don't know why God loved Israel so much. It tells us right here, they were not the biggest of all the people, but God chose them, verse 8, because He loved them. Hey, I don't know why God allowed me to be saved and you to be saved. I just know this much. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so rather than wonder why, we ought to just be thankful that He loved us that much. Amen. That God loved us and He made that gracious choice. And that's why the Bible teaches us to cast all of our care upon Him, because He cares for us. And what a wonderful privilege it is to know that He chose us for a relationship. Now, sometimes we wonder about whether we're worthy, and sometimes we may have tough days, and we just really wonder if it's really worth it. But I'm here to tell you, my friend, with God for you, no one can conquer you. And if God be for us, who can be against us? So there's the choice of a relationship, and then secondly, there's the choice of fellowship. The Bible says in Exodus 20:2, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Listen, what does it say? Thou shalt have what? Remember the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have what? God says, now listen, I chose you and I saved you, and all I'm asking back in return is that you don't let any other gods get between me and you. That's a relationship. God says, I chose you. Now, I want to make sure there's no other gods between me and you. Hey, might I say this morning, that's why we can't be Christians who say that Buddhism is another way. Jesus is the only way. We can't be Christians who say, well, Islam's one of the ways. No. He says, you can have no other gods before me. Listen, that's why there are some people today who say they're Christians, but really their idol is sports. God says, I don't want you to have any other idols before me. I want to be the love of your life. God doesn't merely save us. He wants us to walk with Him and talk with Him, and He wants us to know Him. It's a gracious choice, and it's a gracious care that He gives. Verse 7, He says, and I will be to you a God. I will be to you a God. He says, listen, I'm going to have a relationship with you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm not only calling you out, but I'm going to completely deliver you and be your God. You see, Christianity is a personal relationship with God. And we see this morning that God says in His Word, I'm going to redeem you and I'm going to give you a relationship. And just like He redeemed the children of Israel, and just like He said, I want to be your God, and don't let any other gods come before me. Let's not let anything mess this up. God says, I want to have a relationship with all of my children. Let me just encourage you this week. Make sure you open His Word and let Him talk to you. Make sure you talk to Him in prayer. Make sure that you have more than religion. Make sure that you have Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And so He promises a redemption, and He promises a relationship. And then finally, I want you to see this. He promises a remembrance. And this is wonderful, verse number 8. In fact, these three verses were so wonderful, I just couldn't quickly end with them last week. I wanted to just look at God's love this morning and how wonderful it is. Notice in verse 8 it says, and I will bring you into the land concerning which I did swear to give it to Abraham, Isaac, and to Jacob. And watch this, and I will give it you for an heritage. For an heritage, I am the Lord. God says, now I am going to keep you in remembrance, and I'm going to give you a land. And He had made this promise to Abraham 600 years prior in Genesis chapter 12. But you see, no matter how long it has been, God always keeps His promises. Now look right here, church, this morning. Jesus Christ said in John chapter 14, He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will, what's the rest of it? Come again. And sometimes as Christians, with our commutes and our ball games for the kids and our jobs and all of the concerns that we have and the things that we do, if we're not careful, we forget this fact. Jesus Christ is coming again. And just as sure as 600 years later, He brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, my friends, He's coming again. He's going to take us to heaven. He's going to establish His eternal kingdom, and He's going to give us His promise as well. And it's not going to be the promised land. We're not talking about living in Israel. We're talking about living in heaven for all of eternity. What a wonderful promise that is, to know that our God will give us that land, that home in heaven for all of eternity. God will not forget His promise. I heard about a man named Bill who was starting to get very forgetful. And his wife was concerned, and she finally talked him into going to the doctor. And Bill was a little worried when the doctor came in, and sensing the nervousness of the situation, the doctor said, well, Bill, what's the problem? Bill said, well, I seem to be getting forgetful. He said, I'm never sure I can remember where I put the car, or whether I answered a letter, or where I'm going, and what I'm doing once I get there. And he said, so I really need your help, doctor. What can I do? The doctor thought about it for a moment, and then he said, well, you can pay me in advance. You know, being forgetful is a difficult situation, but I'm here to tell you, God doesn't forget. And God did not forget the children of Israel. He heard their cry. Pause, time out, just to the side for a minute. I don't know what you're talking to God about, but He hears you. He hasn't forgotten you. And when the devil says that he doesn't listen, the devil's a liar. God's delays are not God's denials. Okay? He said, I'm going to give you the land, and He kept His promise. But then there's this part that it just is amazing to me. He not only says, I'm going to give you a land, He says, I'm going to give you a legacy. I mean, this is going to go down in history. I'm giving you a legacy. Verse 8, he says it this way. And I will give it you for an heritage. This speaks of their inheritance or their possession. It speaks of the legacy of the covenant that God had made with Abraham. Genesis 13, 14, and the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward, for all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. Listen, God was interested in fulfilling His promise and creating the legacy for His children. He brought the Israelites into the promised land under Joshua. He sent them into Babylonian captivity, but then He brought them out of captivity again, though they were scattered after the temple was destroyed in AD 70. Ladies and gentlemen, in 1948, Israel regained statehood, and the first country to announce the acceptance of their statehood under President Harry Truman was the United States of America. And Harry Truman said it was the only right thing to do because as a Southern Baptist boy, he had learned that it was God's will for Israel to have that land. We ought to thank God for the Christian heritage we have in America and that we have had leaders that identify scripturally what's going on in the world. And all I'm telling you, my friend, is that for many years there were Christians who sat in church like this and they thought, well, how can Israel have a heritage? They don't even have a land. And in 1948, one of the most significant moments in world history was when God gave Israel a land again. Now, through the time of the Holocaust, they may have been wondering, what's going on? I thought God promised to give us a heritage. And they could have had a lot of doubts, but let me tell you something. When God promises something, He will perform His promise. That means when you were a child and you said, "Dear Lord, come into my heart and save me." And from then until now, you wonder what's going on. I'll tell you what's going on. God is right on time today. The Bible says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. And may I remind you that when the fullness of time has come, He will come again the second time for each and every one of us. Now, sadly, though all of these promises were given, look at verse 9. And Moses spake so unto the children of Israel. Notice this. But they hearkened not unto Moses for anguish of spirit and for cruel bondage. You know, depression is an amazing thing. Discouragement is a powerful thing. And a lot of times, I've counseled people in my own office or from this pulpit, and people sit and they have their problems and they feel like God is delaying maybe in answering their prayer. And here we had six I wills this morning. Did you catch that? Six times God says, I will deliver, I will redeem, I will not forget, I will give you the land, I will give you inheritance. And people can hear God say, I will, I will, I will, I will. But we sit here and we say, will He really? So here's the question this morning. Will you believe God or will you doubt God? The children of Israel were doubting. They were doubting that there could be a redemption, but I want to tell you, there can be a redemption. There is a forgiveness of sin through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they doubted whether there could be a relationship, but I'm here to tell you, there can be a relationship and a relationship of eternal love with God, your personal Savior. And there can be a remembrance because not only does God promise a land for the children of Israel, but better than that, there's a land for all of us called heaven, and it's waiting for us eternally. And what a wonderful day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, they tell me of a home that is far away. I want you to know something. That home is heaven, and it's being prepared by the Lord Jesus Christ even today. God says, I will redeem you. I will give you a relationship, and I will remember you and bring you into my land someday again.
You've been listening to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. If you'd like to connect with Pastor Chappell on Facebook or Twitter, go to paulchappell.com and click on his social media links. You can also receive this entire series of messages to help you in your spiritual journey when you make a donation to this ministry. Get yours right now by calling 800-688-6329. We hope today's message has encouraged you. Dr. Chappell has served as the pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church for more than 30 years, and he is the author of many books. But most of all, he has a passion and love for you. If you've been helped through Dr. Chappell's ministry, he'd love to hear your story. Visit us on our website today, where you can listen to today's entire message, connect with us, and sign up for Pastor Chappell's Daily in the Word email devotional. Visit us at allchappell.com. and thank you for listening today. Be sure to join us next time as we continue to discover God's answers for today's challenges here on Daily in the Word.